No, be seated, be seated. Remain seated. See, people online don't know that you're not standing, so I can do that. Good morning. How's everybody? Good. Good, thank you. Every Sunday you come here, you hear the phrase, after the pattern of Jesus. It's important to know that Jesus, when he made disciples, he made them in small group. I don't think you can find one example where Jesus pulled somebody aside to disciple them one-on-one. Many things that he directed to the one he directed in the small group, among the 12 and so forth. There's something about the dynamic of more than one and more than two that makes it extra powerful and extra important. What we're going to do today is we're going to remind you of what we do have been doing for years already, having a free market kind of approach to small groups, and we're still going to have that. But we're also going to be introducing something that we've been working on behind the scenes, some core groups. Now, the beauty of the free market approach is that anybody can sign up for anything that their curiosity leads them to. What they might neglect sometimes is intentional formation that God intends for all of his disciples to pay attention to, and so we want to pay attention to some of them. For example, we'll be talking today about a course called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, an approach to spirituality which is of a slowed tempo and self-aware, and it's a formative practice, not just a transactional relationship with God. It's a formative relationship. We're also going to be hearing about a group called Practicing the Way, disciplines and practices that the Lord has introduced in his life to his disciples that have a particularly formative effect on you, and you'll hear more about that soon. Many of us are already familiar with a course called Alpha. How many have been a part of Alpha as a team or as a participant? Good number of us. I believe it was a number of years ago when I believe the Lord spoke to us about Alpha and introduced it, and we're finally getting some traction of keeping it kind of a permanent part of us. And finally, who's been a part of Financial Peace University? Look at all those well-to-do folks raising their hands. It's a discipling approach to finances and personal finances. Well, my role today is to talk a little bit about EHS, which is Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is the how-to part of receiving and giving love after the pattern of Jesus. To learn a little bit more, I'm going to show you about a one-minute video. While that video is playing, I'm going to ask Caleb, please, to come join me.
The church is in deep trouble today. It's like we're sitting on top of an iceberg that's melting, but we're reluctant to make the changes that are needed. We can be in our 30s and 40s, even 70s and 80s, physically, and yet be emotionally a teenager. It's a truth about the Christian life that at one point or another, you will hit a wall. By a wall, I'm referring to a season in your life when you will feel stuck. God invites us to be our unique selves before him, to know who we are, not pretend to be somebody else. You see, God wants to communicate to us his true sweetness and love. He longs for us that we might know his true peace and rest. But to get there, however, false layers and unhealthy attachments inside of us must be burned away. So let me invite you to consider taking the EHS journey, and we will build a church that will transform not only our generation, but the generations that will follow.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce you to Caleb Anderson. Caleb is a particular scholar of EHS in that he's been through it twice.
Both times were voluntold.
Both times what?
We're voluntold.
Voluntold? Oh, your wife kind of had something to do with getting you there?
Oh, yeah.
Is his mic on, by the way? Okay.
I probably just don't know how to use it.
Caleb, what impact has EHS had on you?
Honestly, it's helped change a lot of my relationships between with my wife. Anybody in the community that's known me before and now, it's just different.
Do you want to say how it has, in what ways has it changed your relating?
It's made me notice like the stuff that I've held on to from the past.
And how is that affecting you?
It's not let me grow as much, kept me stuck in my old ways.
Very good. So you mentioned relationships. And what relationships in particular have been most affected or helped by?
Definitely my marriage. I just started talking to my daughter again. So.
Woo. And what would you say to anyone who's on the fence about whether or not they should attend? Why should or shouldn't they attend?
I mean, if you want to better yourself and your relationships in life, definitely take it.
Your heart looks full right now. What is your heart full of right now?
Embarrassment.
What are you embarrassed about?
Being up here. I'm good.
All right.
I'll wear it with pride.
Could we give Caleb a hand? Just so you know, this is not a normal group. It's more like a course, so there's a packet of books that you'll need to purchase from me. I'm not making any money on it. In fact, I'm losing a little. It's $38 for all three books. We're going to meet at 6:30 on Tuesday nights. When you sign up, and only 8 people can sign up, when you sign up, leave your email address, and we'll tell you which Tuesday night we're beginning, because we've got a little bit of an adjustment in schedule to make. All right, let's give Caleb one more hand. Micah, I believe you're next. Yep, video first, yep.
Every day, we are inundated with so much information. There's so many questions we have. How can I find my purpose? Why am I here? What should I believe? How can I find peace? Why is life so unfair? How can I thrive in challenging times? How can I make the most of my life? These are like big questions, but there's rarely enough time to think them through. If you live to be 70, you're going to spend 20 years and 3 months asleep, 10 years and 5 months watching TV, 5 years and 9 months in some form of transportation, 7 years and 6 months eating and drinking. Why not spend less than 24 of you asking life's biggest questions and try out?
Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Micah, and this is my friend slash mother-in-law, Karen. And we're here to talk about Alpha. Karen has done 1 semester of Alpha so far, and she will be joining us this fall. So Karen, why don't you tell us about what your favorite part of Alpha is with the mic?
Surprisingly, my favorite part was the discussions, and I say surprisingly because I'm very much an introvert, but I felt extremely comfortable at our little table. Talking with the same people week after week was really nice.
And I didn't tell you there would be follow-up questions to your answers, but what kinds of things did we discuss at Alpha? That's a quiz.
Yeah, thanks. Say it again.
What kind of topics did you enjoy talking about, I should say?
Well, I mean, I just like talking about Jesus and learning more about his life and how I can model his life in my life.
Yeah. So how would you say that Alpha has formed you to be more like Jesus?
I think harder about situations that I'm in, and I consider what would he do in that situation, and I try my hardest, sometimes not so good at it, but I try my hardest to do what I think he would be telling me to do.
Is there any particular moment or event from Alpha that stood out to you from this spring?
Definitely the Alpha weekend. I had a moment where I felt the Holy Spirit, and that was really honestly the first time that had ever happened to me, and it was huge for me, and I wasn't expecting it, so it was really huge for me.
So if you were talking to someone who was considering Alpha and was not sure, what would you tell them to say you should definitely do it?
Yeah, definitely do it, because even if you're an introvert like me, it's so casual and informal that it just feels like sitting at a table, having dinner with friends, and talking, and you won't regret that.
Now, did you say dinner?
Yes.
There's free food, if you were wondering. So, yeah, I know, right? And sometimes Lisa Yamas cooks, and it's amazing, so be there. Alpha is an 11-week course, really for people who are trying to figure out if this faith thing is for them. We explore all the big questions. And so if you just want to learn more about faith or about Jesus, or you want to make new friends like Karen, or eat free food, Alpha is a great place to get started. And so we would love to have you join us. It's not a Bible study. You don't have to have the right answers. Just come, be yourself, eat food, and share honestly, okay? And we have childcare this semester, so bring your Rugrats. All right, next we're going to see a video and hear from Dan about Financial Peace University.
The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Are you really going to make the hard choices to change your life?
We had $40,000 in student loans, $17,000 in cars.
I owned a rental property.
You had a line of credit, just stuff.
You had 16 credit cards.
The proverb says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes.
We paid off $83,000.
Wow! When desire comes.
$144,000.
When desire comes.
$450,000 in the last 7 years.
Wow!
It is the tree of life.
God says this is how you get out of debt.
There's no doubt that this process called Financial Peace University works. The only question is whether you're going to be involved. And so if you haven't signed up yet, now is the time.
When desire comes, I love that line from Dave Ramsey. About 20 years ago, a couple from this church went to a conference in Chicago and came back all excited about this Financial Peace and Dave Ramsey guy. Never heard of Dave Ramsey. But we, my wife and I, were not having financial peace at the time. And many of you, I'm sure, probably know what that feels like. So for $100, we could sign up for this course, Financial Peace University. That $100 seemed like a whole lot of money, but it's the best investment we ever made. The first week I went, second week I talked her into going, and we learned about Dave Ramsey and the 7 baby steps. Our first budget meeting was a train wreck. Like, I'm like, this is stupid. We're done. And my wife, Marcy, said, no, we don't leave the table till we figure this out. Fast forward 20 years, I'm on the other side. I've been through all 7 baby steps, and it's the best thing that we've ever done. So we'd like to pay that forward by sharing with other people the Financial Peace University. A couple that went through the class last year are rock stars, Jeff and Rose Chrisman. Jeff is at work today, but Rose is here to share their experience with Financial Peace University. So, Rose, I'm going to start by asking you, what was your favorite part of the course, Rose?
Honestly, it's been my favorite part of this entire church. It's just the feeling of the sense of community. Coming together, knowing that we're all struggling through the same problems, the same temptations of this world that push us back instead of move us forward in the direction that we know we should be going.
So how has Financial Peace University helped you to be more like Jesus?
Jesus was a man who thought through every step of his life. He did everything with such intention, such introspection. Financial peace forces you to look at what you're doing with your life and especially what you're putting your money toward, because the way that we live and the way that we spend is a huge representation of ourselves.
Wow. Can you share a particular moment from the group that really stood out to you?
I mean, everything about it, every class, there was some moment of magnitude. But when we were finally able to create a savings, a lasting savings, and something clicked where we realized, like, we don't have to live in debt for the rest of our lives. We don't have to live in poverty and in fear of where anything is going to come from. My truck broke down like halfway through the class, and we had enough savings to buy a new car.
Wow.
Before that, we'd had vehicle issues, and it would be a struggle between getting the car fixed or keeping our lights on, literally. We've got five kids that we struggle every day to pay for. And for once in our entire marriage, we've been married 7 years as of today. It's our anniversary. Whoa. Up until this point, we get a major car problem, a major medical issue, and it was terrifying for us, for our children. And to have that security, having that savings, having that support of other people saying, hey, how you doing with your finances? And coming together as a couple to discuss those finances to make sure that we're okay. Because you can just pretend that everything's okay, and it's not.
So, Rose, a question that's not on your list, but how has Financial Peace University impacted communication between you and your husband?
We've been married 7 years today. My husband and I, we're pretty much a stereotype, you know, like finances are the most, the leading cause of separation in the United States. It's a fact. You can look it up. We don't have that financial distress anymore. We talk about what we're really spending our money on, what we should be spending our money on. We are open and transparent about our goals. There was no hour before this class. It was all, well, I want this and I want that. It wasn't really a conversation of what we really need and what's most important and where our life is going. This Financial Peace class has connected us in more ways than just money. It's opened a door of communication that we didn't even know we needed.
Beautiful. And Rose, what would you want someone else to know about why they should consider joining Financial Peace University?
Financial Peace University is a series that helps you get to know yourself and your relationship with money, because most people are not aware of the relationship that they have with money and the hold that it has over them. We live in a world where we're constantly being insisted upon spending on this and that. And it makes you think more about what would God want us to spend our money on? How would God feel about this purchase that we're making and the direction that our life is going? And it leaves you in a lot of financial distress living the way of the world. So if you want to live more like God and more like Jesus, you can go from a life of financial distress to a life of financial peace.
Give it up for Rose Crispin. Isn't she beautiful? Thank you, Rose. Well done. Next, we're going to hear from Katie Morris telling us about practicing the way.
Good job, Rose.
Who are you following? Everybody is following somebody or something. Put another way, everyone is a disciple. The question is not, are you a disciple? It's who or what are you a disciple of? 2,000 years ago, Jesus invited his first disciples to come and follow me. But what does it mean to follow Jesus today in our busy, digitally distracted, and increasingly secular cities? Over the last two millennia, millions of people have said yes to Jesus' invitation. It's changed not only their lives, but the course of human history. And it can do the same for you.
So practicing the way. We talk a lot about here, around here, about learning to live and love in the pattern of Jesus. And the question that begs the question, what is the pattern of Jesus? And so this helps to answer that. But Jane, would you introduce yourself for everyone?
Yes, my name is Jane Norum, and I was in the Practicing the Way classes last semester.
Jane, what was your favorite part of the course? And you can say me if it was, but if not, that's okay. What was your favorite part of the course?
You definitely were a part of the favorite, let me tell you. I think the thing that was just favorite to me was that here was a course that taught you to be an apprentice to Jesus, to be a disciple, in very practical ways. And it wasn't just a book that you read and then, you know, it goes back on the shelf. It was practical steps to walking in the pattern of Jesus.
Simple. It wasn't simple. Not easy always, but simple. How has this formed you to be more like Jesus?
Well, this course, it taught me how to be with Jesus, how to do the things that he did, how to be like him, and how to take up the cross, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Good. Can you share a moment in the group that stood out to you?
Well, I don't have a particular moment, but I think what just stood out to me, and as I look back, is just here was a small group of people that would cheer you on, because like every week we would have maybe something to do, and maybe it was a challenging week for you, something that was out of the box for you, and there were people there that would be supportive and positive and say, I get it. And I really appreciated that I had some people walking the journey with me. That really blessed me, that I had that safe feeling and people who got it. Yeah.
Yes. So the format of the group is that we gather at night. You know, we talk about it, we learn about it, and then we practice it throughout the week. And so like Jane said, some weeks are more difficult than others because what we're doing is forming or reforming the way that we live our lives. And so it can be a challenge. And sometimes you come in triumphant, and I can't believe I did that, and it worked. And sometimes not so much, and that's okay. We're all there on the same journey. Yeah. Jane, what would you want someone else to know about why they should consider this group?
Well, you know, we're saying every week, aren't we? I mean, about walking in, you know, the ways of Jesus. Well, here's a practical way to do it. And you know, it really kind of takes you from that spiritual milk to spiritual solid food that the scriptures talk about. And if you want to deepen your faith walk, then get in practicing the way. You will enjoy it. It's a wonderful journey.
Unscripted question, Jane. you have been a Christian for a long time. Would you recommend this for new believers, for seasoned believers? Who would you recommend this course for?
Well, I think some of the groups we've talked about are like, you know, Alpha is excellent for somebody who has just questions and wants to know more about Jesus. But if you're already a believer and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I think this is a good course to get into, to go deeper and learn more and to be walking the walk.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. So this course, you have the details in your directory that was handed out. The directory is also online if you don't have one in your hand. So you can see those, and then we'll also link it in the Midweek Connection so you can see dates, times, places for all of these groups as well as all of the other groups that are free market, like Pastor John was talking about. For this specific course, there are materials. There's a book, couple books that we'll go through, and so there is a cost for that. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it's on your sheet, and you can see me for any questions with that. Thank you, Jane. Let's give her a hand. I'd like to invite up Pastor John now and Liz.
Should I sit down today or stand up? I'm going to have a seat. Liz is not joining us because she's celebrating her father's birthday with him today. So God bless Liz and her father. Here's all I want to do today. I want to read a scripture to you. And I want to apply it to what you've just heard. This is Jesus speaking. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. I want you to notice the standard of love. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Small groups have a long history here at Christ Community Church. The roots, if you want to know the truth, are in drug and alcohol treatment centers and the mental health center, where a number of us learned about small groups. We experienced the power of people sitting across a circle from each other and telling the truth about their lives to each other. We saw them open their hearts. We saw them full of tears. We saw them finding victory and coming out on top again. And we also noticed that the power was not in the leader so much of the group as it was in the members of the group. The person that could say, I've heard you now, me too. I can relate to what you're saying. That made us realize that power is not just in the hands and hearts of professionals, but it's in the hearts of anyone who's willing to sit down in a circle and listen to someone's story and tell your own story. And so we began doing that here at Christ Community Church. But the first start of those small groups was a little bit rocky. We were excited at first. Maybe we could have those same kinds of powerful experiences, delivering experiences right here at Christ Community. And we looked at some books and looked at some curricula and set a start date for those groups. And we started. And initially, there were good reports. People were attending. People were showing up. People were beginning to tell parts of their story. But towards the end of the books that people were reading, towards the end of the curricula we were coming up on, I began to hear things like leaders saying, I don't feel like the Lord is leading me to do this again next semester. Or the Lord is telling me to take a break or to take some rest and so on. And the truth is, God does speak that way sometimes, right? I don't mean to make fun of that. But it's also true that sometimes we Christians have learned a language that says, I really don't feel like doing this anymore, and I'm going to bring the Lord in this and say, the Lord led me not to do this anymore. Did you know that's a form of taking the Lord's name in vain? So anyway, what I realized was happening is that we were avoiding certain conflicts with members of our group, especially we had a little nickname for them, those that had extra grace required. The challenge in their life was so difficult that they were repetitious about the challenge, or nothing seemed to help, and it just got discouraging. Some people decided not to lead another group. What we did was we canceled all the groups and decided to form just one more group with all of the group leaders. And there we learned how to tell our story to each other and learned how to respond to each other and to the story. And in our group leaders, power came, love came. We learned how to love, how to receive and give love after the pattern of Jesus. If those who are a part of that group are still affected to this day, bonds were cemented there that are still a part of the bonds in the relationship today, and we made a step forward in learning how to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. Now, why did I tell you that story? First of all, I want you to notice in the scripture that I read to you, a new command I give you. It wasn't new to be commanded to love, but the old command was to love your neighbor as yourself. The new command is to love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus is saying these words in the upper room when he's having some last words with his disciples. He's saying these words when Judas is walking out of the room to betray him. He's saying these words when he knows that Peter is making a promise that Peter can't keep. And what Jesus is not saying, he's not saying, I feel my Father telling me to cancel this small group. I feel my Father telling us we don't really want to do communion tonight because of what that really represents. Instead, he loved his disciples to the end. A new commandment I give you. Love each other as I have loved you. By this love, all will know that you're my disciples. The badge of whether or not we're making success in learning how to live and love after the pattern of Jesus is our love for each other growing, even if we're being betrayed sometimes, even if somebody's made a promise to us they can't keep, we're going to love each other as he has loved us. And if that's your hope and your prayer and your aspiration, would you say amen? One of you would stand with me, And I wonder if group leaders would come forward and stand in front of this platform. In front of me, please. Any group leaders in the room, or are you already out teaching Sunday school and so forth? A little closer, please. Even Lisa's going to call in. Don't you have some news for us today?
I might.
What is it?
I'm 60 days sober.
I wonder if we could all bow our heads as I pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence in this room today. Thank you for the blessing we've been able to sing to you and with each other. Thank you, Lord, for these folks who have heard the call to help, to lead, to disciple. Lord, what we're asking this year is a special grace to teach us how to love after the pattern of Jesus, to teach us how to love each other as you have loved us. Grant these group leaders courage. Grant them hope. Give them the blessing of seeing fruit from their labor. And Lord, for their group members who are about to sign up, in Jesus' name, lead them to the group of your choice. Give them step-by-step ways of growing and learning how to live in love after the pattern of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're not trying to do a church growth program. We're not just trying to do a novel, nifty thing. We want to know you in our experience of life, not just in our heads. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. You want to lead us in a song? The worship team's going to lead us in one more worship song before we're dismissed. God bless you.
There's a calm that covers me. Place of healing, it's a place where I find freedom. There's a place my eyes can't see, where my spirit longs to be. It's a place of healing. Falling down, I've come to